So you came to Canada in what year?
In 2003.
Maybe you can say why you decided to come to Canada and what happened when you first came here.
Well, I decided to come to Canada because it was the only way to save your life at that time. And in addition, I heard from some friends that the atmosphere in Canada is a little different. There are more liberal values and there are strong community organization movements, and there is social dimension in society in general. So it was like, in Canada, as some people told me, you will find different atmosphere. You can restore yourself a little bit. You can evaluate your license. You can be what you want to be. So on the borders, they asked me, after interview, where do you want to go, to Montreal or Toronto? And I chose Montreal. And then I lived in YMCA, I got work permit. And I discovered that this process, refugee process, is in the best cases, even if you will be if you will succeed to get residence or papers or to be recognized as a human being, as I say, it is a very long-term process. So means that you are starting from the beginning, and you have to also accept the tiny chances which is given to you by the market needs, by society, to work in a specific kind of jobs with no rights to study, with no right to evaluate license, with no right to develop on any scale. So it is kind of repeating for me the New York experience with some little social help. You can know that you will not be hungry. You will not die from hunger, because simply in New York you may die from hunger. But here you will not. But on the same time, you have to accept, you have to compromise more than any other person, because you are refugee. After I was rejected, my refugee claimant was rejected simply because I lived in New York 3 years and a half without asking for refugee status.
Mm-hmm. And that, when was your refugee claim rejected?
What year? I got the decision on May 2004. So now you became non-status. Non-status is just modified form of being illegal. And if you become non-status, you have also to live the same life which you lived before as a legal person. So eventually I got my pre-risk removal, like I have to tell them why will be I danger if I go back to Egypt. But in the same time, they told me, they confirmed in the United States that they're going to send me back to United States. Mm-hmm. So like it is just form. It doesn't mean anything if you prove to them that you will be danger. If you go back, they also will send you to United States, mm-hmm. which is, you have to take another mm-hmm. course of.
And that's the Safe Third Country Agreement.
The Safe Third Country Agreement, which, like, you see a lot that they contradict themselves. I don't know who is realizing or without realizing. I mean, I feel that there is a constitutional problem mm-hmm. in such processes, because you can't ask somebody to prove that he's in danger if he goes back to his country while you're deciding to send him to another country. Mm-hmm. What is the meaning of the question? You know, it doesn't mean anything. They told me already, they confirmed with the United States, and they're going to send me back to the United States. Mm-hmm. I know from my friend in Solidarity Without Borders that the percent of acceptance of such a process is about 1%. This is how the situation is.
Do you think that you would be put into detention if you were sent to the States?
Of course, because I stayed illegal in the States. And you would be put you will be put in detention, of course, if you send back to the United States. Mm-hmm. Or you have, in some cases, you will get detained for more than 1 year, mm-hmm. or more than that. Like now, Mohammed Sharfi is more than 1 year in detention, mm-hmm. without reason, just because he has this misfortune that he was not born here. Mm-hmm. I mean, and the guy, everybody knows what did he do for the Algerian, and how was he very sincere in his struggle. Mm-hmm. I mean, he adapted the same value of the Western civilization to struggle in your rights,
yeah.
and in peaceful ways, mm-hmm. and try to educate your people about the rights. This is the Western values. So the guy trying to relate himself to these values, and he's rejected because he's trying to relate himself, mm-hmm. to these values.
Yeah. So. Now, you mentioned you had a friend who told you that in Canada there are more liberal values,
yeah.
towards refugees. Do you see that? How would you compare your experience as a refugee in Canada versus in the States?
Because I was not a refugee in the States. I was illegal, just right. illegal in the States. Yeah. So those people, as I said, expected that just you will not, as I told you, you will not die from hunger here. Mm-hmm. But the life is not to die from hunger. I mean, mm-hmm. if you consider the life something qualified, you need to achieve something. You need to feel yourself in different ways. The life is a chance. How much chances you are given to prove that you are able to do something or not. Mm-hmm. So if there is no chance, so which is happening here all the time, the real chance for refugee is just that they have to do specific kind of jobs, and they are threatened all the time. If they don't accept what they are offered, which is very hard for them sometimes, they are threatened by being expelled out of the country. Like immigration here used to call the bosses, your bosses, about your attitude in work. Mm. And they get an idea from him. How do you act? What do you do? So your boss is your immigration officer. Mm-hmm. I mean, your boss who will decide your fate. Imagining that sometimes you have to do, as I told you, very hard kind of jobs. So, like putting people in this corner and judging them by their behavior in such corner, getting an idea from the boss and pushing them in this corner for years, is kind of unhuman society, I think.
Since you've been living in Montreal, you've been continuing to do human rights work, especially around refugees.
Yeah.
You've been part of the group Known as Illegal.
Yeah.
Why did you make that decision to join Known as Illegal?
Bro, I just read this quote yesterday, and I like to use it, and it touches me a lot. Mm-hmm. In spite of the fact that maybe our struggle is a little different, not on this level, but in the essence, mm-hmm. it is the same struggle. Right. The equal rights of all to the goods and joys of this world, the destruction of all authority, the negation of all moral restraint. There, if one goes to the heart of the matter, is the reason for this struggle. Hmm. It is like, you know, I met this lady from Mexico. She's over 50. She was working in a subway restaurant. And one day, a young girl, 18 years old, asked her to do something, and the lady didn't understand. The lady was a lawyer in Mexico. She's a refugee here. Mm-hmm. And the young girl threw one sandwich in her face, telling her that, how you don't understand something like that? And I just apologized to the lady, and I told the girl not to speak like that anymore. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, I will act instead of the lady. And I don't care whether I'm a refugee or not. Mm-hmm. I don't. Just next time you do something, you have to apologize at first. And next time you do something like that, there's going to be big trouble. You know? Mm-hmm. How this lady applied for humanitarian to get accepted after being rejected. She applied for humanitarian ground, and she got good news that she may be accepted in humanitarian claim, but she got heart problems right after hearing such news.
Yeah.
I mean, solidarity without borders or no one is illegal is the breath of all those people who are being discriminated on a regular basis every day, not being considered as a human being. There is nothing in this world like living illegal, like being deprived of any real chance to understand and to develop and to see the world from the same eyes of everybody. Nothing like that. And those people, when I start working sincerely, being involved in this struggle, I feel nothing more noble for me than this moment. It is real chance for me to put myself in this core of actions.
Mm-hmm.
You test yourself, in fact, when you do something like that. You claim that all your life you are defending the marginalized people and the working classes and the peasants and the people who are being exploited every day. Being intellectual, you don't know, just you watch from outside. But being in the position, you test yourself and you see whether you are really able to carry those values or not.
Mm-hmm.
On personal level, this is real chance to prove for myself who I am, and on other levels, this is the breath of all refugees and all the non-illegal, and I'm completely sure that if our message was carried clear enough, we will have a lot of Canadian alliances. Just we need to explain and to see everybody what is the meaning of the life on the margin.
Now, with this larger group, Solidarity Cross Borders, being a coalition that brings together various refugee communities and organizing this March to Ottawa, tell me a bit about the March to Ottawa and why you feel it's important.
The movement, after declaring that it's going to march to Ottawa, is getting bigger and bigger every day. Every day we meet people. When they hear about the march to Ottawa, they feel like, oh, this is the right decision. They started telling you their stories here, and they just want to join the event, the march.
Mm-hmm.
March to Ottawa, as it is written in the pamphlet of Solidarity Without Borders, and I find it very, very right expression. It is kind of restoring the time.
Mm-hmm.
Every stolen moment in your life, you are trying to restore it by this march. And I see this expression very, very accurate expression. This is the essence of the march. The essence of the march is to restore your life back. Maybe not on physical level, but on symbolic level. I see the march. This is how I see the march. So, march will not, of course, be the end of the world, but I'm expecting it will be real, it will make real difference in our situation. All oppressed groups, if they don't decide one day to go to face their oppressors, they will get nothing. And if you know your fate, if you face your fate directly, whatever was the result, it is better than living in this situation. Mm-hmm. So we're gonna march, of course, we're gonna march and we're gonna organize through the march, and I think it's gonna be a big event.
What are you hoping is gonna be one of the outcomes of this march? Do you expect there to be any tangible outcomes from it?
Outcome will depend on the strength of the march. Mm. Will depend on not those marginalized people who will march, will depend on our alliances also, the Canadian alliances who will march with us. The outcome on basic level will be that you will face your fate and you will challenge your fate, mm-hmm. until the last breath in your chest, until the last amount of air, you know, you have. This is the outcome. For me personally, this is the most important thing. What will be the practical result of the march doesn't mean anything. We need, of course, positive results. But if you lose your life like that, the result is not the point. The point is that you have to set up new way of challenging those unhuman policies by those marginalized people. So this is the main dimension for me. Like, I don't care that much about the result. I care about the action itself.